It's time now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is Reverend Rick Cross, pastor of Faith Baptist Church in Longmont, Colorado. The title of his message is The Dust of Discipleship. The text is from Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22.
I want to introduce our speaker for today and tomorrow in chapel, Pastor Rick Cross, from Faith Baptist Church in Longmont, Colorado. He's an 81 graduate, finished with a BA in Bible, and then went on for a master's degree in pastoral theology here. And he's right now in his dissertation stage. In addition to all of his pastoral duties, he's in the dissertation stage for the doctorate in sacred ministries from Northland Baptist Bible College. He went out to Longmont as youth pastor back in 1987, and he was youth pastor there for 10 years until the previous pastor stepped out of that senior pastor role, and the church asked Pastor Cross to come on as the senior pastor then. His wife, Donna, is a 1984 graduate. He has a daughter, Beth, who's a junior, sophomore nursing major here, and then a daughter, Jenny, who's in 10th grade, a son, David, who's in 5th, and a youngest son, Stephen, who's in 1st grade. He serves on a number of boards with the Fundamental Baptist Fellowship, with the Association of Christian Schools in Colorado, with several mission boards and ministry boards. But most of all, I wanted him to come to share his heart with you as a man of God with a warm and fervent heart for the Lord, whose preaching, and more than that, his life, is always a conviction to me. So please have your Bibles out, something to take notes with and on, and give him your full attention as the Lord speaks to us through Pastor Cross these next 2 days.
Amen. Thank you very much, Dr. Jones. Would you take your scriptures, please, and would you turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew and the 4th chapter. We'll be reading verses 18 through 22 this morning. You have just finished, no doubt, a very impacting week of Bible conference last week. And so this morning, my encouragement and invitation to you will be, would you enjoy some things with me on the finishing up, if you will, the caboose of Bible conference. We have a whole rest of the school year to go. And yet, no doubt, as Dr. Jones mentioned, the Lord would have done some great things in this student body, in your life. Would you enjoy some things with me this morning on the matter of the authority of Jesus Christ? Read with me, please, from the book of Matthew, and beginning our reading in verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, it's our privilege and pleasure to be in your word this morning. We thank you for a new day. We thank you for life and sustenance. We thank you for your wonderful Holy Spirit that we have residing in our hearts. And we'd ask that this morning that your Holy Spirit and your word would accomplish the work that you desire in our lives today. May we understand the matter of discipleship this morning. May we understand your authority in our lives. And with the great week last week, may there be a saturation of your mind in our mind. May we have your direction this morning from your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Later on in the book of Matthew, we see one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Our Lord with his disciples on the Sea of Galilee. And as the winds and the waves beat against the ship, the disciples wake the Lord up, and he walks to the front of the boat, and he raises his voice, and he raises his hands, and he speaks to the wind, and he speaks to the wave, and the scripture records that there was a great calm. where the elements recognized the voice, the authoritative voice of their Creator, the authority of Jesus Christ. Also in that same chapter, we find our Lord's dominion and authority even over the matter of the devils and Satan himself, where he casts the devils out of the man and they were run into the swine and the swine ran headlong into the sea to where even the entire city came out to run Jesus Christ away from their midst. Great authority. And then in John chapter 11, you'll remember a very familiar passage where the friend of Jesus, Lazarus, had died and he was in the tomb, and Jesus demonstrates his authority over death, where even in the presence of his friends, he said, "Lazarus, come forth," in John chapter 11. Many commentators would say that if Christ had not put the proper name of Lazarus there, that all of those who were in the graves would have come forth because of his great authority. And Lazarus came forth from the grave, and another demonstration of the authority of Jesus Christ. We find in Matthew chapter 4, we find Jesus Christ approaching those who would be his disciples. And I can't imagine this. Someday we'll be able to hear the voice of our Lord. I trust that is something that would be of great enjoyment to you, to even hear him speak your name. But he stood there on the shore and he called to the disciples to follow him. And the scripture records that straightway they left their nets and followed him. What a powerful presence our Lord must have had, even to the response of the disciples to his two words, "Follow me." 13 times in the Gospels, we find the admonition, the imperative of our Lord, "Follow me." We have to understand a little bit about Jewish culture to understand not only what was said, but what was heard by the disciples, because the disciples would have been raised in a culture where children would have gone to school about age four or five until the age of 12. And they would have been taught the first five books of the Torah, the Pentateuch, the law, the books of Moses, and they would have not only been taught to read and write them, but to memorize them, so that by the age of 12, most of the Jewish children would be able to recite word for word the Torah. And then after age 12, they would have gone into the family business. Some would have continued on to what we would consider today some type of a secondary school. And they would then have been taught not only just the Torah, but the prophets and the writings, the poetical books of the Old Testament. Following that, as the numbers would have been reduced from the elementary school to the secondary school, following that, a young person that was very aggressive and gifted intellectually may have even gone into the place where they would seek out a famous rabbi, a famous teacher. And they would go to this rabbi and they would use the words, "Could I follow you?" The rabbi would test the student's knowledge over a course of events and test the student's discipline and devotion. Most of those that requested of the rabbi to follow him were turned aside and were not accepted into the discipleship of the rabbi. But a few were, and at some point the rabbi would come to the home of the inquiring student and say, "You have passed the test." And then he would use two words, "Follow me." And that young person would then be required to leave the home and travel with the rabbi and live with the rabbi and learn from the rabbi and listen to the rabbi. But there was a difference. Before that, the young person was a student and the focus on was learning the content of the scriptures and being able to recite things. But when we move into the matter of discipleship with a rabbi, there was a change. And the student went from learning content to learning character. Because in a real sense, that student would follow that rabbi or that teacher around and adopt the lifestyle of the rabbi. The word in the Jewish culture was called the Talmudim, and we would refer to that as the disciples. And this morning, I'd like to ask you in your presence, where are you in your discipleship with your master, your teacher, Jesus Christ? Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19 records these words, that he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, and straightway left their nets and followed him. If a disciple, one of the Talmudim, if a disciple followed his rabbi well, it would have been said of him eventually that you have been covered with the dust of the rabbi. It was an honor to have that label, that you have been covered with the dust of the rabbi. They had followed that teacher so closely that the dust of his feet filled their life. It's hard for us to relate with that today in our deodorant soap, Mary Kay cosmetic culture, where everything is clean and pretty. That was not the case then. In fact, we could almost picture a little boy following his father, and every time the father's foot moved, the little boy's foot would move in back of the father throughout an area. And this is the same picture of a disciple following the rabbi. Everything the rabbi did, the disciple would follow. There was a learning process and even a loving process in mirroring the life of the rabbi. And I'd like to ask you this morning, would you, at the end of the time of the Bible conference, where the Word of God has been so pungent and the Word of God has been so concentrated, and you have lived through the enjoyable preaching of the Scriptures and the men that have come and poured out their hearts to you, I would ask you, what will you do with that now? Will it be that which you say, that was an enjoyable service, an enjoyable conference, but life is ahead? Or will you say, now, Lord, take those things and I want to follow you, even to the place where you would say, I want the dust of my master, Jesus Christ, to permeate my life. I want to know the dust of discipleship. Really, there are three levels of discipleship that are, we could gather from even just a few of the words of our Lord. The first level, and we could call this even the layer, the first layer of dust would be direction dust. For in these words of our Lord, we find one word, that being follow. Follow. Jesus Christ was moving a direction. In chapter 4 and verse 16, we find an Isaiah prophecy that Jesus Christ was fulfilling now. And in verse 17, we see a great change in his public ministry, to where from this point on, he is focusing on Calvary. In fact, we see verse 17 of Matthew 4. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There is direction dust of a disciple. And on his way to the cross, he comes to these men and he asks them, would you follow me? Have you seen enough? You're out there fishing. You've even seen some of my mighty works. Have you seen enough of this culture and this world? Will you now follow me? I'm mindful of a man that's on the staff of Bob Jones University in the maintenance department that I had the privilege several years ago of hearing as he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And I remember his words. He said, I have tried everything. I have tried and seen everything this world has to offer. This is what I've been looking for, as he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. I ask you this morning, can you honestly look at the emptiness of our culture and say, that's what I want to invest in? It may not be that you are perfect, and you won't be perfect this side of glory. It may be that you would say, there's a lot of faults and a lot of frailties in my life. But a disciple is one who will read the Scriptures and listen to the Holy Spirit and then will follow and will know the dust of discipleship, even the direction of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4, we find these apostles, these disciples, as Peter and John were there speaking before the Jerusalem council. And the people, it recorded, are saying they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And so these men not only left their nets and followed Christ, they continued past Calvary in their discipleship with Jesus Christ. And I would submit to you this morning that the discipleship dust of Jesus Christ is not just somebody's list of spirituality and some list that you would attend to. Your following will be demonstrated by your affection. Your following will be demonstrated by your actions. Your following will be demonstrated by your appearance. Are you following? We can leave here in a few moments and walk to lunch. And you could say to me, Rick, will you follow me? And I would say, yes, I'll follow you. And as you head out, I think that's aisle 7. If you head out the aisle at the top, I would say, you know what? I'm going to go this way. I would not be following you. You would say, well, I'm going to go around by the student center. I'll say, I'm going to go around by the art gallery. But I'll follow you. No, I would not be following you. And I would submit to you, following Jesus Christ is not about us. It's about Him. The direction of, if you will, discipleship dust. But then the Scripture goes on, the words of our Lord, follow me. And we could label this delight dust, or the level of discipleship where there is not only just direction, but there is delight. Where these men would have seen the Creator and the Sustainer of the universe. And may I ask you to look into the face of Jesus Christ this morning and say, you made me, you made the nets, you made the water, I will follow you. It's not even just a matter of what I will do, because in a sense, it is not about our lives, it's about Jesus Christ. And as a non-athletic, 5'6" guy, on a good day, I'm 5'6". I have often been, growing up through elementary school, I was usually the last guy that was picked. Will you be on my team? As we divide them up on the playground and we were going to play kickball or football or baseball, very few times was I selected as the lead guy. And usually it was toward the end, and this is not a violin story, toward the end I would say, where am I going to fit in? And I would say to you, it's not a matter of where are you going to fit in, it's a matter of a delight of saying, I am able to be on the Lord's team. I see who He is, and He is my sovereign, and He created me, and He sustains me. Lord, I will follow You. Follow me. The dust of discipleship. And then, not only direction dust and delight dust, but dependence dust. I will make you fishers of men. It's not about you. It's about Christ. He is your strength. I'm afraid many times it's very easy in soul winning type messages and maybe even a soul winning conference to lay a guilt trip on people and say, will you be fishers of men? But yet that is not what comes first in the text. The text relates, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The matter is not your effort. The matter is His authority and His sovereignty. Yes, there is effort. But I'm reminded of a time a few months ago when I was up in Estes Park, Colorado, a mountain town just west of our city of Longmont. And I sat down with a man who's 94 years old. He's a British pastor, British retired pastor. We sat down to tea. I don't like tea. I think there's two things that have undermined our Western culture. One is tea and the other is cats. But we're not going to go there. It's another message. deep theological message. But I would recommend to you this morning what he told me. He looked across the table and he said, Rick, you cannot follow Christ in your own strength. He said, in fact, you can't live the Christian life in your own strength. You have to allow the Word of God to fill you. You have to allow the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5, to fill you. And you have to allow Jesus Christ. In fact, he used these words. You have to allow the life of Christ to control you and strengthen you. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He will transform you into one who is used to transform others. Some of our young people would know two individuals in our church that we just had the privilege of seeing baptized a couple of weeks ago, Bryce and Morgan Lutz. A man in our church by the name of Mark Hoffman is a sanitation engineer. He drives a trash truck for the city of Longmont. And over the course of several weeks, he invited one of his co-workers to church. And back last fall, he was successful in inviting and seeing one of his co-workers, Bryce, come to church with him. And Bryce told me later, as he had said, as soon as I stepped into the building of Faith Baptist Church, he said, I don't know how to explain it. He said, I could just feel the Lord. And I could feel the Lord working in my life. And yet, he was not a believer. He attended a couple of services, and Mark continued to live before him the life of Christ. The place that one day when Bryce was driving his trash truck, he was listening to Christian radio, and he listened to a preacher who was giving the plan of salvation, and the preacher said, if you're driving right now, pull over and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And he said, I did that. He said, I pulled the trash truck over and I bowed my head and I accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. And he used some words that could probably only come from a new Christian. He said, after I opened my eyes, I just sat there and I experienced God. He said, I sat there for an hour until Mark Hoffman pulled up next to me in his trash truck and said, Bryce, what are you doing? He says, I just trusted Christ as my Savior. And I submit to you this morning that Jesus Christ can use you as you are a disciple of His. The direction dust, the delight dust, and the dependence dust. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. When I was a student, and I'm assuming you still do this, we had white glove, and I think it was before Bible conference. I don't remember the exact time. But I remember that about that time, it had to have been a different time of year because we had received, no, it was Bible conference, because I had just received my tax rebate check from the IRS. And I got $150 back from my tax refund. That was a lot of money then. It's even more money now. And I put that money in an empty Wilson tennis ball can, thinking, I don't have a bank account in Greenville. I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't want my roommates to find it. So I put the money in the empty Wilson tennis ball can, and I put it in the back of the closet of Smith Dormitory, the dormitory room we were in, I was in. And it just so happened, for some reason, that I went home the week before Bible conference. My parents were living in Atlanta, Lilburn, Georgia at the time, and I went home that weekend. But before I went home, as I was doing white glove, I found in my closet a Wilson tennis ball can, and I thought, don't need this, threw it away. And I went home, and I was sitting in the family room of our home in Lilburn, Georgia, and I'll tell you, I asked my mom, do you remember that? We had orange shag carpeting in our family room. That'll tell you about what generation that was. And as I was sitting there, I realized what I had done. No doubt I had gone white and pale as a sheet. I sat there and I thought, what have I done? I got up and I went to the phone hanging on the wall, and I called back to the switchboard and I asked the switchboard to ring the room in Smith Dormitory. It just so happened, I think there was some concert or a game on that Friday night or Saturday night. And there was nobody in the room. And so they rang the rooms all the way up and down the hall. I explained to the switchboard operator what the problem was and what I'd done, the stupidity of what I'd done. And she was sympathetic, and they found a guy in one of the rooms. And I said to the guy, I said, could you do me a favor? This is going to sound really awkward. Could you go to the trash chute? And could you see if you could see a tennis ball can? He went down and he said, not only can I not see it, they have cleaned the trash chute, the trash bin out. It's gone. Well, I was heavy hearted. And yet Monday morning, as I drove back, it was raining. I drove back from the Atlanta area, pulled onto the West Gate. And as I pulled into the West Gate, the Bob Jones University trash truck pulled out of the West Gate. And I thought deeply, I went to the Dean of Men's office. I didn't go to the dormitory. I went to the Dean of Men's office, and Dr. Liverman, the Dean of Men at that time, approached him, and I explained the situation. I said, Dr. Liverman, could I miss the first service of Bible conference? Rick, what do you want to miss the first service of Bible? I want to go to the dump. And I explained the situation to him, and he allowed me to miss in my, at that point, three-piece suit to go to the Greenville dump in the rain. And as I pulled onto the property of the Greenville dump, the Bob Jones University trash truck left the property. And I looked up there and I saw a bulldozer, and I don't know if they still do this, but I saw a bulldozer, and the bulldozer was plowing trash, garbage, over a cliff. So I got out of the car and I approached the bulldozer driver and I said, I just saw the Bob Jones truck leave. Have you plowed their trash over the cliff yet? He said, yes, it's all gone. And I was again despondent, and I walked back to the car, 1973 green Mercury Montego, great high performance vehicle. As I got into the car and I just about was to close the door, I heard the bulldozer driver's voice, and he said, wait! And he had climbed down off of his bulldozer and he put his arm into the garbage and he pulled out something, and he had in his hands a Wilson tennis ball can with the lid on it. And I went and I opened the lid, and there was $150. Inside the Wilson tennis ball can. I thanked the gentleman. I witnessed to the gentleman. He was already a believer. Couldn't put that on my extension report. But I went back and I got into the car. And ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit arrested my heart. And he said, Rick, if you would follow me the way you followed this money, what could I do with you? And I would ask you this morning, where are you in the dust of discipleship? 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. God can use you. Will you follow him?
You've been listening to The Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Reverend Rick Cross, pastor of Faith Baptist Church in Longmont, Colorado. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.